And we now have with us U.S. Senator Jerry Moran of Manhattan. And I know it's been a few weeks since we've been able to connect with you, and I appreciate the opportunity. And I know, Jerry, that all sorts of different things we can get into, but the fires just front and center when it comes to Kansas right now. I know some horrible wildfires, and the state of Kansas really suffering from some of that.
Kathy, you know, our hearts go out to lots of people in our state. Terrible devastation from grassland fires. The winds that we've had in Kansas all week long and the lack of moisture has really just caused serious and significant problems, including the death of a number of Kansans and Oklahomans and Texans. And then just the agriculture community, the loss of cattle, the fences, the homes, barns. I'm hoping that I have the chance in the near future to be there and to see what's going on at the moment. They're still fighting fires in many places across Kansas. I wouldn't want to single out any particular one for the being the most devastating, but I know that Clark County, the county seat is Ashland. More than 85% of the county has been burned, more than 500,000 acres. And what a devastation to the small communities in those counties. We're already dealing. I've had conversations with General Taffanelli, the Adjutant General, the Emergency Preparedness Director for our state, and we're teed up to be of every bit of help we can be in getting whatever disaster designations we need from the federal government. We're also looking, as we did in the Barber County fire, the Anderson Creek fire that occurred around Medicine Lodge last year, trying to find the farm programs, the agricultural assistance that comes when trying to help replace fence posts and fencing and the cost associated with that. And, of course, what these circumstances always remind us is that Kansans rally around their neighbors, and the amount of money that was raised following the Anderson County fire, the Anderson Creek fire, was tremendous. The Livestock Association, Farm Bureau, and others have just been out working again try to help people get through difficult times.
And I know what a horrible time with agriculture already going through some tough times right now. I know we continue to hear that it's a real crunch time for a lot of our farmers. And however, I guess you're going to be introducing a bill in the near future if you want to share with us some information on that on the agricultural field.
Kathy, a couple of thoughts about farmers and ranchers in Kansas. These are tremendously difficult times regardless of the natural disasters. Commodity prices are exceptionally low. They've stayed there. They're not expected to rise in the near future. Often in Kansas, when we have bad commodity prices on the crop side, the livestock sector is better. In this circumstance, we have both of those at historic low prices. It's thought that this is the most significant, difficult economic times in agriculture in our state since the 30s. I worry about a lot of things in that regard. We're working to try to get federal regulators to understand, those who at the FDIC, the Office of the Comptroller of Currency, the Federal Reserve, State Banking Commissioner, that we need to make certain that in tough times our community, local banks, are financially and regulatory able to make loans to farmers to offer that line of credit. And there's so many more regulations on our bankers than there used to be. We worry that what would have been a normal course of business, a hometown bank taking care of a county farmer because they knew them, knew their family, had financed them for generations, we're worried the regulators are going to say that's not a good loan. We need to make certain that that relationship is not destroyed. We recently have asked, for a second or third time now, that USAID and the Department of Agriculture, USAID is our food aid trying to combat hunger around the world, to put more wheat into those programs. We have excess wheat in Kansas piled on the ground. We have lots of people hungry around the world. Let's get those two things together and let Kansas agriculture feed a hungry world. And you're right, today and tomorrow we're introducing legislation that would once again try to reopen the markets for agricultural sales, food and medicine to Cuba, a country that because of the embargo has generally been off the list of places that we can make significant agricultural sales. Wheat is the number two thing right behind oil that Cuba imports, and we ought not be taken out of the market. It's a unilateral sanction. We're the only one that imposes that sanction. So when we don't sell wheat to Cuba, France and Canada, other European countries do. So we end up just hurting ourselves, and we're once again engaged in a battle trying to provide some common sense in that regard. But ag is hurting.
And in the meantime, too, I know the Secretary of Agriculture nominee's really gone through some hurdles. And any thoughts on that at this point?
Well, we're anxious to have a Secretary of Agriculture confirmed. That position was the last one that a nomination was made by the administration. I've met with Sonny Perdue. He's a former governor of Georgia. They're waiting on his paperwork in the Ag Committee to come from the White House so that a confirmation hearing can be held. But we're anxious to have somebody in charge at USDA and try to get somebody that we can deal with. For example, on the issues we've just talked about, it would be great to be able to pick up the phone and talk to the Secretary of Agriculture, but at the moment there isn't one.
And I know there have been a lot of the nominees have been pretty controversial. I know the education one, I think there was quite a bit of controversy on that, and I know you had some thoughts on that also when the time came. But just briefly, kind of the general feeling right now in Washington, and then I know you want to get to some of your other committee work.
Well, apparently anymore, there's no president that is widely popular with certainly with everyone. A lot of controversy. And nominations, putting people around a new president has some role for the Senate. We are authorized by the Constitution to advise and consent to nominations. The cabinet is now, with the exception of the Secretary of Agriculture, is now in place, and we hope that means that things will be more efficient and function better, as you would expect, as personnel take place. You're right about my committee assignments, talking about a new administration. I have a new chairmanship in this Congress. I now chair the Subcommittee on Appropriations on Military Construction and Veterans Affairs. This is, in my view, something that was important to me to achieve as we look toward the future of Fort Riley, Fort Leavenworth, Forbes, and McConnell. I'm now the person that is in charge of the committee that determines funding for military construction. So things that happen on a military installation have to be approved, certainly by the Department of Defense, but ultimately have to be funded by Congress. And so we've tried to put ourselves in a position which we have more say about things that will take place in the Manhattan neighborhood called Fort Riley. That also includes the funding of the Department of Veterans Affairs. And we've had lots of conversations about veteran issues, you and I, over a long period of time. I've been on the Veterans Committee since I came to Congress. This is the Appropriations Subcommittee that funds the Department of Veterans Affairs. So I'm now on the Authorizing Committee, the committee that oversees the Department of Veterans Affairs and passes laws related to them. But I'm now the chairperson of the committee that decides about VA funding. And that certainly can be, in my view, helpful as we try to focus the VA on making sure that no veteran slips through the cracks. And I have, in my view, the way I describe it, is a love-hate relationship with the VA. I have a great love and respect for our veterans. I have a great number of concerns with the way the Department of Veterans Affairs operates. Many times they do things very well, and veterans are very grateful. Good things happen, but way too many times it's the opposite of that. And we need to have consistent, high-quality care that our veterans have earned and deserve.
We only have about a minute or so left. I don't know if there's anything else you're wanting to highlight today, Senator. I'm really glad we were able to catch up with you. And
well, speaking of veterans, I've joined Senator McCain and Johnny Isaacson. Isaacson is a senator from Georgia who chairs the Veterans Committee. Senator Tester, who's a Democrat senator from Montana, who's the ranking Democrat on the Veterans Committee. We've come together to extend the CHOICE Act. This is the legislation that allows veterans, if they want to receive care in the community. We're working hard not just to extend the program as it is, but to make it work better and to get a lot less paperwork and bureaucracy involved in the process. This is particularly useful to people who live long distances from Topeka or Wichita or Leavenworth and could use care in their community, see their hometown doctor, be admitted to their hometown hospital. Been something that we've been championing a long time. It's had its challenges too, but it expires in August, and we're going to extend it and work to improve it as well.
Again, U.S. Senator Jerry Moran of Manhattan joining us today for In Focus.